Well, hello, Waynesboro Bible Church, and happy Mother's Day. Today, we really want to take time to honor our mothers and all the women who have had a positive influence in our lives, including not only our mothers, but our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our sisters, our daughters, certainly our wives, and all of the friends that we've had, the ladies who have influenced our life. We want to honor the women today. Perhaps we could use a little humor today after the situation we're in, and considering we've been shut in for a long time now, we need to put a smile on our face. So as we think about all the labor and the love that women pour into the lives of others, here are some quotes I found, some of which might bring a smile to your face today. Most of them are anonymous. One mother said, "I really would like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my kids." Someone said, "The one thing children wear out faster than their shoes is their parents." A Chinese proverb says, "There's only one perfectly beautiful child in the world, and every mother has it." A young boy said, "My mother had one of those mood rings. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. When she was in a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead." Milton Berle said, "If evolution were really true, mothers would have more than two hands." Someone said, "If your kids are giving you a headache, follow the instructions on the aspirin bottle, especially the part about keep away from children." I'll let that one sink in for a while. Another person quipped, "Children are a great comfort in old age, and they help you get there fast." One exhausted mother says, "When my kids are wild and unruly, I use a nice strong playpen, and when they have settled down, I climb out." Another said, "I love to play hide and seek with my kids. My goal is to find a nice, safe hiding place and stay there until they're all finished with high school." Maybe that's how you feel today. Finally, a daughter said to her mother, "I'm so lucky to have you as my mom. No one else would put up with me this long." So happy Mother's Day, all you mothers out there. Hope you have a great and blessed day, and hope you're really praising the Lord today. It seems odd that we're not being able to be in church on Mother's Day. During this difficult time, it's especially important that we honor and love our mothers, and for that matter, all the women in our life. I really thought we would be able to be back to church by now, but it appears that our governor has a different plan. The stay-at-home order for Franklin County has been extended to June 4th, and after that, we may still be in the yellow phase for a few weeks before we can meet in groups of more than 25. So that means no church for a little while longer, folks. We just have to be patient and stay in touch by phone, Facebook, or email. We certainly do not want to see another rise in the number of corona cases. Some folks are having a really hard time with this home confinement issue. It's taking a toll on people's emotions. Please, folks, stay occupied. Read your Bible more. Listen to some good Christian music. Watch some good Christian programs on TV. Take a walk. Even if it's indoors. One person told me recently that they walked several laps around their basement every day, and that really helps relieve stress. Others have discovered that they enjoy drawing or making things with their hands. But hang in there, stay well, and all will be well with God's help and grace. I cannot tell you how much longer we will have to be restricted from meeting in groups for church services, but as soon as we get the green light, we will do that. Until then, let's all be faithful in praying one for another. I want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Ask His blessing upon each one of you, and ask for His blessing upon our church family, even including our missionaries all around the world, and certainly praying for this situation that we're in to be resolved, and the coronavirus to be eliminated, people to get back to work, and our economy begin to rebound soon. Thank you, Father, for this day that you've given to us to come before you and to rejoice in all that you've done for us. Thank you for giving us health and strength to be able to worship you today. Even though we're doing it independently and separately, we're still all part of the family of God. Those who have trusted in you have salvation, and we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this Mother's Day and all the mothers who have dedicated their lives to caring for their husbands and families, giving all their heart and strength into the labor of being a mother. Thank you for the mothers who have reared each one of us, and we thank you for those mothers who have gone on home to be with you. Certainly we miss them, but we know that we're going to be together again soon, rejoicing around the throne of God with all of our loved ones who have gone before us. We look forward to seeing them again soon and spending eternity with them. And thank you for those mothers who are still rearing children. I pray your richest and greatest blessings on them today. Again, Lord, I want to pray for those still suffering with the coronavirus, that you will relieve their suffering and pain, give them comfort and rest, and certainly healing, that they might get over this and get back to health. I pray, Lord, for the country of India, where we heard this week the lockdown has gone on for nearly 5 months, and it is very, very severe. People are not allowed to leave their homes. If they do, the police beat them with sticks in the streets. Lord, you know about this, and I pray that you would give relief to the nation of India, that you would take this coronavirus away. Lord, we have a lot of friends there, a lot of missionary families. We just ask that your mercy would be great upon the country of India today. I pray that the coronavirus will be completely wiped out worldwide, that the United States would become free of the coronavirus very soon. And I pray, Lord, for all those doctors and nurses and people who are working hard to develop a cure and a vaccine for this, that you will certainly minister to their needs, keep them strong and healthy, give them the rest that they need, and help them to endure this battle. Lord, I pray for the families who have lost loved ones to this terrible, terrible disease. I pray, dear God, that you will comfort them. You're the only one who can comfort them with the kind of comfort that comes from above. You can show them your grace, show them your love, Lord. Give them the ability to rest in you today and find joy and happiness in the knowledge of eternal life. I pray for our church family. There are many who are sick. There are many, Lord, who are suffering with ongoing chronic illnesses, pain, discomfort. I pray for them. I pray that they will get well. I pray for healing for those who are suffering. I pray, Father, that you will be with those who are lonely, those who may be dealing with fear, that you would just comfort them and assure them that all will be well. We thank you that we can sing and say, with honesty that all is well with my soul. I want to pray for those who are out of work. This is really hard for a lot of people financially. Some families have lost their jobs permanently, and some other families are really struggling to meet their expenses. And I want to pray for those who are still working, and that means that they could still be exposed to the coronavirus through contact with people at work. So I pray especially for protection and safety over them. I pray, Lord, for those who are working hard to teach their children at home. That's not an easy task for those who aren't used to doing that. And I pray that you will bless them, those who are doing their best to keep their family safe and healthy. Minister to them. And Father, I pray for our missionary family and ask your blessing upon each one, protection from the coronavirus, provision for all their needs, power in their ministry to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, for their well-being in all areas, that you bless them indeed. Especially our missionary of the month, the Moyano family in Spain. Minister to them, Lord. Help them to have many opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, that although we're separated physically, we can still experience fellowship through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can sing, "Blessed be the name," and we can fellowship around your living word. As we teach the word and preach the word of Jesus Christ, we ask that hearts will be blessed today. We ask all these things for your glory, for your honor, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our monthly memory verse comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 20. "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." This is a promise of God for those who have been afflicted to the point that they cry unto the Lord for deliverance. "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction," we must assume and accept the fact that the Lord has allowed coronavirus to come upon the whole world. Why would he do that? What is his purpose? If we go back to the background and the history of that verse in Isaiah, God was using adversity and affliction to chasten, to punish, to correct the children of Israel. He was using their terrifying situation to bring them to a place of repentance, to a place where they would cry unto him. In other words, he was giving them a wake-up call. And he promised that when they did cry unto him, he would cause them to have spiritual eyes so that they could see what his word was teaching them. And they would have spiritual ears to hear the message that had not been heard for a long, long time, because they had pushed the teaching and preaching of God's word into a corner. He said, "That will not happen any longer. You will see with your eyes, and you will hear with your ears what the teachers have been saying." And the next verse, a very familiar one, says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Well, with that in mind, let's listen carefully to what Paul tells Timothy about how men should treat women. That's our message today. How should men treat women? This is a Mother's Day message because it puts the emphasis on the proper ways to honor our mothers, our wives, and literally all the women in our life. We could also say this is a message that tells children how to treat their mothers. How should men treat women? Our text comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I'll give you a moment to find your Bible and find 1 Timothy chapter 5. We want to talk about three biblical principles that will show men, teach men, how to treat women. And I think we all have something that we can learn here today, and things that we should be constantly reminded about, because of, with our old nature, we have a tendency to be selfish. Men have a tendency to neglect and abuse our rights and our privileges, and we don't treat women all the time the way we should. So may this be a reminder, and may God use this today to teach us what we can do to treat the women in our life better than we do. Again, how should men treat women? I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to a young preacher named Timothy, and this is his advice. He says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Women are known historically for their praying. Most mothers and grandmothers, godly ones at least, are women who spend a lot of time on their knees, and they pray for their families. For this, we should be grateful. We should honor them, and we should praise God for those in our families who have led us and reared us in the fear and admonition of the Lord on their knees. Now, before we get into our three points, our three biblical principles on how men should treat women, I think we can see from these verses that the first thing we're going to need is wisdom in discerning and explaining and understanding the truths in this passage of Scripture. Remember James chapter 1, verse 5, it tells us that if any of you lack or needs wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I was reading a devotion this week written by Dr. David Jeremiah on the women in your life. And I think what he said is worth sharing with you because it has to do with the idea of the need for wisdom in properly respecting and treating the women in your life. It was taken from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6, which says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." Here's what Dr. Jeremiah says. In Proverbs 9, we find a woman working hard to prepare a banquet. She starts by building a house for it, hewing out 7 pillars. Then she selects the menu, prepares the feasts, and sends maidens who find the highest spots in town to shout out the invitations. Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. That's in verse 5. The woman's name is Wisdom, and Proverbs 9 describes all the blessings that come from her menu. But the chapter ends with another woman, a foolish woman who is clamorous. She is simple or up to no good. She has bad intentions and knows nothing. That's verse 13. This Lady Folly also sends invitations into the streets, saying, "Whosoever is simple, let him turn in here." Verse 16. Her meal is junk food, things that ruin the heart. Every person on earth goes to one of these houses, one or the other, to obtain their understanding of life. One or the other of these two houses will be the destination of your soul. You'll have a much better life by going to Wisdom's house. There you can feast on the riches of God's word, drink from the well of His thoughts, be sustained by the energy of His Spirit. Let's ask God for wisdom in how we treat women, in how we treat our mothers, in how we treat our wives. Well, I said there are 3 points I want to touch on today from Paul's letter to Timothy on how we should treat women. So we should get started. These are biblical principles. Number 1, treat every woman with purity. With purity. In verse 2, Paul told Timothy to treat younger women as if they were his sisters, quote, with all purity, unquote. With all purity. Let's think about that for a little bit. Impure, immoral, talking or joking or sexual activity outside of marriage, it's all forbidden by God. Remember Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 that we studied recently? It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Back in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, Paul said, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." That's 1 Timothy 4:11 and 12. He told the Thessalonians to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. In 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul said, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So the first biblical principle in how we treat women is to treat every woman with absolute purity. Peter says it this way, a way in which it could not be expressed more clearly. He says in 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." There should never be any impure thoughts, intentions, actions, or words toward any female at any time. Treat every woman with absolute purity. And the second principle is treat every woman with understanding. Understanding. Again, going back to Dr. David Jeremiah's thoughts from Proverbs chapter 9, we need to go to God, who gives us wisdom and understanding in how to treat women. We need understanding. Treat every woman with understanding. What do we mean by that? Well, back to our text in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul says in verses 2 and 3 to treat elder women as mothers, younger women as sisters, and in verse 3, widows as widows. In other words, we are to honor them. Husbands are to be understanding as they live with their wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." That means that we husbands need to be lifelong students, constantly learning how our wife thinks and what she needs from us, how we can become a servant to her, what we can do to promote her spiritual growth. It means that we understand that women are different from men. Sometimes we forget that. A lot of the problems we have communicating with our wives is that we don't understand how they are thinking and that they are thinking differently than we do. Whether we are married or single, all men should treat all women with understanding. That requires investing time and energy in learning how a woman thinks, how she feels, how she acts. It also requires investing time in prayer. F.B. Meyer says, "The standard of Christian living here emphasized may well be pondered and prayed over by all Christian men." When Paul says in verse 1 that we are to entreat elders as fathers, that word entreat goes beyond the way we are to treat just the elders. It also applies to the way we treat women. The word means several things. First of all, entreat means without rebuke. No man should ever throw sharp criticism or painful remarks at any woman at any time. Never use a sharp word or expression of harm against anyone, especially women. How often have you been in a situation where you've witnessed men or boys raising their voice and casting disrespectful words against their wife or mother? It's nauseating when I hear that. Entreat means to show respect in the way that you address women. Entreat also carries the idea of exhortation or encouragement. We need to exhort. We need to give them advice, to show them and teach them from God's Word. And we need to be encouraging them and commending them when they do things that are pleasing to the Lord. It would be a great application today if we men would think of five things we could say to the woman in our life that would build them up, that would make them feel appreciated, that would tell them how important they are to us and what a good job they're doing. In the same way that the word entreat covers more than our relationship with elders and young men. The word honor in verse 3 also applies to more than just widows. The word honor in the Greek means to place a high value upon or to consider them more precious than winning a prize. Do you honor the women in your life? Do you tell others how much she means to you? How important she is in your life? Do you honor all the women in your realm? God says we must. Jesus gave a command in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. He said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Sounds like God is quite serious about the way we treat our father and mother. And this certainly applies to how we treat the women in our life. When Jesus said, "For God commanded," it is likely he was referring to the Ten Commandments, where God said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. If you don't want to die young, you need to obey that commandment. That's what Paul meant when he said, "This is the first commandment with promise," in Ephesians 6:2. And Jesus expands on that commandment in Matthew 19, verse 19, saying, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Do you see how those two concepts go together? Honor those who are close to you, and love everyone. Who is your neighbor? It certainly includes all the women in your life. Solomon says in Proverbs 30:17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and young eagles shall eat it." That's certainly a sobering thought. What's it telling us? Simply saying that God is serious about this matter of treating women with understanding. We need wisdom in treating and in honoring the women in our lives. So first, we are to treat every woman with purity. Secondly, we are to treat every woman with understanding. And thirdly, most importantly, we're to treat every woman with love. In the midst of the discourse on how we should treat women, Paul says in verse 4, "For this is good and acceptable before God." He's using that statement to commend the children and the family for taking care of the mother who has lost her husband, the widow in the family. Love encompasses all the other commands of how we are to act toward one another. Husbands are to love their wives with a love that is shadowed by the kind of love Christ has for his church in Ephesians 5:25-33. A man should treat a woman as he would want to be treated. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That's a principle we find in Matthew chapter 7. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." We could preach a whole message on loving one another, but it is best at this time to sum it all up with the words of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. He said, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Shakespeare said, "They do not truly live who do not truly love." When genuine agape love is exercised between all men and all women, then principles 1 and 2 will also be fulfilled. When we treat every woman with love, then we will also be treating them with purity and with understanding. Again, love encompasses all other commands about how we are to act. I pray and trust that every woman in the sound of my voice today will be surrounded by love, pure, honorable, gentle, and fervent, heart-rendered love. And I also want to remind all you ladies that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. The Lord says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love," in Jeremiah 31:3. While some may say, "But that promise was to the nation of Israel," we also know that it is universally true, because in 1 John chapter 4, the Word says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That is good news. Paul put it this way. He said, "But God commendeth," or demonstrated, "His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," in Romans 5:8. In conclusion today, dear friend, do you know that God loves you? I mean, are you really sure of His love? God does not want us to live in fear or doubt. He doesn't want us to have to question whether He loves us or not. We should know in our heart that God loves us intensely. God loves us eternally. Two of my favorite verses come from the end of Romans chapter 8. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. My friend, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you are wondering if you have everlasting life, why don't you pray this simple prayer right now? Dear God in heaven, I know that I am a sinner, but I trust You right now to forgive all my sins and failures. Allow me to be cleansed by Your gracious love. Accept me into Your eternal family. Abide with me now and for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer or a similar prayer in faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, you can be assured He will fulfill the promise to do so. God bless each one of you. Have a truly happy Mother's Day, and may the Spirit of God abide in your hearts and bless you until we do meet again. As far as announcements are concerned, again, you may be asking, what is happening? When will we get back to church again? Franklin County is still in phase red, meaning we have to practice social distancing, and meeting in groups of more than 10 is prohibited. We really want to fight this virus and see it done away with completely. We do not want to see it flare up and continue to spread. Governor Wolf made an announcement on Thursday that those counties in phase red would remain in phase red until at least June 4th, meaning wearing masks everywhere we go in public, practicing social distancing, staying 6 feet apart from each other, and not meeting in groups of more than 10. So it appears that it will still be several weeks before we can viably have church again. Until then, be patient, keep praying for one another, stay healthy, and above all, rejoice in the Lord. Give us a call or send us a note if we can be of help in any way. If you have a prayer request, please let us know. Our address is on the bottom of the web page where you found this message. It's also on the home page of our website. Our email, probably the easiest way to reach us, is by email if you have capability of doing that. Our email is deg54wbc@gmail.com. Again, that's deg54wbc@gmail.com. We are praying for you. God bless you and have a wonderful day.